It's 6:32, time for the Fitas Diaries. And today we are talking about sports, education, religion, and Ramadan and Eid and all those stories. I'd like to hear from you after the segment is over.
Fitas, a journey through time. A harmonious community. Fitas belongs to an era in South African history that is rich with places which had a vibrant and dynamic life. It had a wonderful, harmonious sense of community, like Sophia Town, Meadowlands, and District 6 in Cape Town. Fitas bore pride and joy to the people, despite the fact that they were living in overcrowded and inadequate conditions. Togetherness and a sense of belonging filled the atmosphere there. Everybody knew everybody else, and the neighborhoods were close-knit and very friendly. Racial interactions were not seen as a problem by any of its residents. Neither did belonging to different religious groups create tension or divisions in Fitas. It sounds utopian and increasingly romantic. Fitas was a community because people had a material and direct sense of shared reality. It created a sense of belonging. It affected people's identity. People from Fitas see themselves as people from Fitas. It became a part of them. Everyone knew everyone. Nobody was treated as a stranger, and no one had the chance to stay a stranger. Social unity prevailed in Fitas. People stood with each other against people from the outside. Growing up there meant being brought up by everybody who lived there. Crime was phenomenally low. There were no burglaries, and people lived in a sense of security. The moments of tension and conflict were very, very few. Schooling in Fitas. During 1948 up until 1968, most of the primary and secondary schooling of people in Fitas took place outside of Fitas. They attended schools in Fordsburg, particularly at the Johannesburg Indian Secondary School, which still exists, the Bree Street Government Primary School, which still exists, the EU African Training College, which was a so-called coloured college, which was on Dulari Street. There was also an Indian Girls Primary School in Fitas. It still exists, but it is not in use anymore. Religious schools spread out across Fitas, catering for the different groups that fill the community. Some of the schools ran feeding schemes for the pupils due to the living standards in the communities. High schooling was often regarded as a privilege for the people of Fitas, and only done so if one wanted to pursue an academic career. At times, the school populations were so low, there were not enough pupils to run matric classes. Going to school in Fordsburg meant walking for about 10 minutes. Fights would often break out between Fitas and white pupils, between the Fitas pupils and the white pupils. Those who went on to higher tertiary level education were exceptional. Most pursued careers in the medical and legal fields. They either studied at the University of Witwatersrand, yet they had to contend with the racial quotas at the university. Sports. The only way to describe how important cricket was in the life of people of Fitas is to describe it in the terms of mania. Cricket mania. Between 1948 and 1968, people were cricket crazy. They were fanatical about the sport. To be a non-cricketer was a curse. They were looked down upon and usually called derogatory names. Another sport prevalent in Fitas was playing cards. A number of clubs catered for the card players. The significant clubhouses were the Orient Social Club for a dominant game called bridge. Religion. The majority religion in Fitas was Islam. Malays and Indians made a great percentage of this majority. Between 1948 and 1968, people in Fitas were conscious of their religion, and practicing their religious rites were important to them. There were two mosques in Fitas, on 23rd Street and the other on 15th Street. Both are still in existence till today. Both mosques were central to the Muslim communities of Fitas. During Ramadan, children would be on the top of buildings, on roofs, or on street poles, trying to sight the moon that marks the beginning and end of Ramadan. Both Muslims and non-Muslims did this together. increased prayer filled the streets of Fitas. During this time, Fitas was no exception to marking the end of the dawn to dusk fasting. The fast breaking involved most people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. They were a part of this due to the closeness that the community of Fitas had towards each other. Ramadan in Fitas was filled with sharing, goodwill and a wonderful atmosphere that affected the Muslims and non-Muslims equally. In Fitas, Eid was celebrated with everybody and also had a wonderful atmosphere and great spirit shared by all who lived in this harmonious community. The commercial stepchildren of Fitas, 14th Street, stood out as a landmark in the history of Fitas. There were other shops in Fitas too, but they were not in any way on the same scale as the shops on 14th Street. Most of the corner cafes on Kraus and Dalari Streets would specialize in mainly foodstuff, but were also stockist of everything to anything. Butchers were amongst these corner cafes. Each of these stores had their own special features which made them unforgettable. A lot of them were meeting spots for people on the streets. People would so-called clock in at these cafes during the course of the day and congregate there even till night, even if the store was closed. They were an essential part in the social life of Fitas. The politics of Fitas. During 1948 and 1958, this era marked the nationally mounting development of the Congress movement. 1948 to 1968 witnessed the impact of emerging confrontationists. The Transvaal Indian Congress were known as nationalists or the Nationalist Bloc. The Transvaal Indian Organization, known as the Accommodationists, and the Transvaal Indian Youth Organization all participated in the decade of defiance between 1950 and 1960, which was when the implementation of apartheid was set in. Before 1948, the TIC underwent fundamental changes. Political strategy came into play with the takeover of the nationalist bloc. The confrontationists argued that the plight of the Indians was tied to the plight of the mass of oppressed people in South Africa, and they wanted non-racial unity amongst all people who were oppressed and exploited. Joint movements then took place, with the Indians and Africans standing together. Acts of resistance took place in various ways, at segregated post offices, trains, buses, and others alike. Fitas people were among these batches of passive resistors. Fitas was an active part of the decade of defiance. Not all people were involved in passive resistance. Many of them were detained and banned.
A Radio Islam production by Maulana Habib Bobat and Tufail Patel.
Yes, that was the fifth installment of the Fitas Diaries, and lots of ground been covered in today's program. We spoke about the harmonious setup of Fitas and how people were so closely knit that they knew each other, and everybody was familiar with the setup, and everybody knew the families in and out. And I think that's lacking quite a bit in today's day and age. You hardly even know your neighbor. Sometimes you don't even know what's their names, man. Okay, we spoke about the harmonious setup. We spoke about the education also. The children used to go outside of Fitas to get education, like Johannesburg Indian School. They say it's still in existence. I don't know if they're referring to the JMS, if it's the same one, I'm not sure. Bree Street, and then the Indian Girl Primary. That was interesting, I did not know about that. Feeding schemes were run, and high school was a privilege. Not many people had the opportunity of studying further. Now, this has been summarized. If you read the actual text of it, they'll tell you that once you reach grade 5, or once you reach standard 5, the father would say, yeah, come to the shop, yeah, we don't have time for you to go study and go matric and all that stories. Come to the shop. But there are names cited in this book of people who went on to study and become great doctors of the community, and eventually they moved on to Australia and other places. I'm not going to quote the names because it's going to take too much time. We spoke about the sports, cricket mania. People were crazy about cricket, playing on every street, and you were like, it was a curse if you did not play cricket. And then they used to verse lots of people, etc. Religion, we spoke about the religion also. There were two masjids in the community, 15th Street and the 23rd Street. And people would climb the poles just to sight the moon for the beginning of Ramadan and to mark the end of Ramadan also. And I was reading, now like I said, this has been summarized. In Ramadan, they used to gather at the dastarkhan in the masjid and they used to bring out whatever people had brought, and the mother would always pack extra for people that were coming to make iftar at the masjid. Then they spoke about the commercial setup, 14th Street, being the hustle and bustle of fitas. Again, I'm going to say we have summarized it quite a bit, but if you go into the book itself, they've quoted names of popular stores, and the people that played a very pivotal role in the commercial setup, like, let me see very quickly, Musa Hassan Bulbulia, the Surtis, Alibai, the Mad Hafiz, etc., Harry the Fat Man. Harry the Fat Man was, a very well-spoken, he was a beggar, but he was well-spoken, and he would make your day when you would pass him. So, if you read about him, that's also very interesting. Anyways, that's as far as the commercial setup. And in the politics of fitas, and they've got a lot of the names there, Maulana Saluji, Dr. S. of Jassad, Farid Adams, and they've got pictures here of riots, and Suleiman Saluji, and then Dr. Dadu, and Mr. S.I. Nana, and lots of other people they've discussed in this chapter. We've left out names and critical details because it will make things a bit too long. We just wanted to paint a picture for our listeners. Yeah, that's the quick recap of today's segment on fitas. Let's look at the phone now, what's happening on this side. This one reads, Assalamu alaikum Malala, you're talking about fitas. Yeah, there was lots of unity, love, close family bond with all, and it's bad and ugly living condition and people being exploited by landlords. The Group Areas Act gave people hygiene independence, gave everyone their own houses with their own bathrooms, toilets, yards, and private family life. There was a good and bad, Allah knows best. The Group Areas Act made everyone landlords and they all enjoying big home today independently. It was bad and good at the same time. Let's look at it on the bright side and make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave place like lands was born. And it is better than fitas in many ways. The same people from fitas went to lands and they are all neighbors again with more people from other areas as well. That's one message coming through on the fitas side. We're going to go for a quick breather and we're going to allow for people to interact on the segment also. Look, we spoke about sports and we spoke about religion, we spoke about the commercial setup, we spoke about politics. You can touch on any of the points covered today and inshallah share with us, inshallah, your thoughts most welcome. Some of the key personalities in fitas, Maulvi Saluji. Maulvi Saluji came from India originally. He was a resident in fitas on 13th Street. He was the last president of the TIC. Maulvi Saluji only spoke in Urdu, but through the aid of a translator, he addressed completely mixed gathering throughout his life. Although he was a small and a quiet man, Maulvi Saluji commanded a powerful presence. He was essentially a man of religion, but active and uncompromising about his political convictions. Widely respected for his political activism and sincerity, Maulvi Saluji was detained on several occasions and banned many times. His last banning order only left in 1980s. Maulvi Saluji continued to lead a politically active life right to the time of his death. Maulvi Saluji died on the same day the TIC was relaunched on the 22nd January 1983 in Johannesburg. Now on Thursday, that was yesterday, we had a visitor from the UK and he was speaking about this, that the importance of us being politically active in our country is extremely important, because once you're in parliament, you are debating new legislation, you are debating laws that can be passed on for the future, and if you are not there to voice your opinion, you can't do much once it has been passed through parliament already and it has been legislated and made part of the constitution. So it's important, like we see Maulvi Saluji playing an active role. So I said it's important for us to highlight and look at our roots, that in those days we were politically active. And the defiance also is quite vocal in this chapter. Dr. S. of Jassad. Dr. Jassad was born in fitas and schooled at Bree Street Indian Primary School and the Johannesburg Indian Secondary School. He later went on to study for a medical degree at the Wits Medical School in Johannesburg. He was active in the Student Representative Council at Wits Medical School, campaigning the cause of the few black medical students that were there. Dr. Jassad was the president of the TICYO and was banned for several years for his political activism. Dr. Jassad then became the first president of the re-emerged TIC and was tried for treason. He was tried for treason with others for his activities as TIC president. So they really paid the price. You know, today we just moving around. He was later acquitted after the state could not prove that the charge of treason. Dr. Jassad is now still an active member of the TIC executive and still commands respect from all those who come into contact with him. Dr. Jassad now lives and practices medicine in his surgery in Fordsburg. I'm not sure how accurate this detail is, and if it needs to be corrected, please to point it to me, inshallah. Another person covered here is Fareed Adams. Fareed Adams lived in Fitas and was an active member of the TICYO. Fareed Adams was also the number one accused in the treason trial of 1956. In this treason trial, some 150 people were put on the dock, and Fareed was number one amongst them all. Imagine, the first person was from Fitas. Hey, man. It is through Fareed that Fitas followed the trial closely. After all 150 and some odd people were acquitted, Fareed was always teased about his political adventurism. Everybody knew when Fareed Adams was responsible for chalking, the equivalent of spray painting, slogans on the subway walls. Lol. Between Fitas and Fordsburg, even the cops knew of this. Fareed Adams was left-handed and couldn't write his S's correctly, and in an almost Fareed always chalked the S's upside down on the walls. Everybody thus knew that this was Fareed Adams' work. Fareed Adams was also an avid admirer and follower of Dr. Daru. Although cutely negligent in his chalking, Fareed Adams was a dedicated and energetic political activist from Fitas. Some wonderful accounts in this chapter about the people that played an active role, and then there's some pictures here of the people that took part in the rallies and the defiance against the apartheid government, etc. Yeah, let me see what I can quote to you very quickly before the lapse of this hour. Harry the Fat Man. Harry the Fat Man was completely round. He was so fat that in 1960, Harry was thought to be the fattest man in Johannesburg. Harry was also a tramp. He spent his days wandering around Fitas, scratching here, going through rubbish there, but mostly sitting at the shops on 14th Street and talking to people in rhymes. Harry rhymed the last words of every sentence to the delight of every passerby. Harry was known to everyone, and he knew everybody too. Through his rhymes, Harry told stories of Fitas that only a tramp would have known. His eyes and ears were always alert, and nobody knew the Fitas streets better than Harry did. Harry was an African. He did not have any family, immediate family, that is, and always Fitas will always be his home. Harry was adopted by Fitas. Or maybe it was the other way around. Harry adopted Fitas. Whichever way it was, Harry was part of Fitas as any other person was. Harry was to Fitas what 14th Street, cricket and cinemas were to Fitas. Essential life forces of Fitas, Harry was missed whenever he was not found at his regular spot in 14th Street. Yeah, there's a picture of Harry the Fat Man. I've seen how he looks. I don't know if you can relate to that. Some of the businesses, Musa Hassan Bulbulia. Musa Hassan Bulbulia was amongst the first to set up a store on 14th Street. He bought over the plot where a church once stood on 14th Street and erected a shop there. He used to buy goods from a factory in Johannesburg and bring them to the shop. He used a horse and cart initially to transport his goods. Mr. Bulbulia is also the first Indian to have been granted an auctioneer's license. He introduced auctions on 14th Street. Wow, that's really interesting, eh? Job buying, as the auctions came to be commonly known as, is accredited to Mr. Bulbulia as his original idea. Too many Mr. Bulbulia is regarded as the pioneer of the 14th Street. I know there are some Bulbulias there in Fitas. I'm not sure who they are. Are they the same that's been referred in this book or not? The Surtis. Surtis was among the most closest, the more classier shops on 14th Street. It specialized in men's clothing and kept only Fitas, but the rest of Johannesburg abreast with the latest trends in men's fashions. Surtis was particularly renowned for its high-quality merchandise. The Surtis empire was essentially built on 14th Street, Given the exceptional way the 14th Street business was going, Surti's rapidly expanded. They now have an elaborate store on Commissioner Street in addition to other branches. So that's part of the business. And they've got some nice photos here and pictures here, hey? The 14th Street was known as the Mecca of shoppers, the Piccadilly of Johannesburg, the Petticoat Lane of Johannesburg. Can you refer to these terms? Somebody can tell me. Mecca of shoppers, the Piccadilly of Johannesburg, the Petticoat Lane of Johannesburg, and even as the jugular vein of Fitas. Yeah, there's some of the details, subhanallah, that I managed to get through to you. It's now 6:55. There's some more messages coming through. Let me see what it says. During our time in Fitas, many boys and girls joined the Muslim youth movement. Classes were held every Saturday afternoon at the Lajpore Hall on 13th Street. We had jalsas in the hall and even went as far as Rustenburg, singing nazams and naats and even reciting qiraat at jalsas. This is how we spent our free time. The program is bringing back wonderful memories, especially because my grandparents were alive at the time. I am overwhelmed by this program. And this is from Hawa Bibi. I still have the original copies of the nazams some 30 years later. Lol, that is very, very sentimental. 6:55, another installment of the Fitas Diary comes to an end. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the unity that we enjoyed before. And may we, inshallah, rekindle the same spirit, the same love, the same activism that we had previously. Really, Muslims were in the forefront previously. If you look, we are about 300 years already in South Africa. We were in the forefront. We were politically quite active. And now we are in the back seat. I think after our forefathers managed to set the platform for us, we now took the back seat. Well, remember the first generation walked without shoes. They were bare feet because we could wear shoes. But now the problem is the second generation, they are so used to the luxuries and the comfort that they forgot the sacrifices of the first generation. And essentially, it should not happen that the third generation suffers because of the second generation not doing their jobs. So we need to be politically active, inshallah, also, and learn from our forefathers as they were active in every sphere of life. 6:56, until we meet on Monday afternoon. I say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's rather strange for me, you know, that to have a break on a Saturday and a Sunday. Usually I see the studios on both days, but now I'm going to relax and chill out right till Monday. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.